First, a quick summary of this chapter. Arjuna submits to Lord Krishna as his disciple, and Krishna begins his teachings of Bhagavad Gita by explaining the fundamental distinction between the temporary material body and the eternal spirit soul. The Lord explains, number one, the process of transmigration. Number two, the nature of selfless service to the Supreme. And number three, the characteristics of a self-realized person. Now, if you go to the final verse of this chapter, verse number 72, you will find a final paragraph in that purport, which is a chapter summary given by Prabhupada. It's a short paragraph, the last verse. So, the paragraph begins, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the contents for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga is also given as the contents for the complete text. So now we will study the translation to this section, which I have entitled Buddhi Yoga. So follow along. We're going to read the translations, and I will comment as I am inspired. Text number 39. Thus far, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. So, in this chapter number 2, beginning with text number 11, up until text 38, Krishna has been explaining Sankhya, analyzing things in terms of a distinction between matter and spirit, the distinction between what is temporary and what is eternal, and the difference between the body and soul. Now, beginning with this verse, Krishna will introduce a new topic, Buddhi Yoga. Text number 40. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So in this Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga are all synonyms for what we do, Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is the whole purpose or conclusion or whole purport of Bhagavad Gita. What is the Bhagavad Gita getting at? That one should do Bhakti Yoga or Karma Yoga or this Buddhi Yoga. They're all synonyms. Notice in this verse, a little advancement, just a little, can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. What is the most dangerous type of fear? Do you know? All right, forgetting Krishna. And what happens if you forget Krishna? The most dangerous type of fear is to miss another opportunity for at least human life. Because it's in human life that you have a chance for liberation. If by my activities in this life, I act in such a way that I get less than a human birth, then I have no chance of liberation. It may take thousands of lifetimes. It is only in the human form that there is the possibility for salvation. Not in the 8 million forms of life lower than human. So that's the most dangerous type of fear. Missing at least the opportunity of another human birth. Let us go on. Text number 41. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So here the comparison is made between the devotee or the practitioner of buddhi, karma, bhakti yoga, and though that person who is not. As it says here, their aim is one. What is their aim? To go back to Krishna. That is their aim. That is their goal. To get back to Krishna. Because originally, that's where we come from. We come from Krishna. We belong with Krishna. We don't belong here. This is not our home. So the one-pointed attention, the devotee wants to return back home, back to Krishna. Now we go to text numbers 42 and 43. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So these people, they don't want to go back to Krishna. They don't want to become liberated. They would prefer to take birth after birth in better and better material situations for what it was said here, good birth, power, sense gratification. They're attached to the body, they're attached to sense gratification, and they want to come back again and again to enjoy material facilities. But the bhakti yogi, the buddhi yogi, the karma yogi, his aim is no. I am finished with this material world. I want to go back home, back to Krishna. Text 44. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So he already said, Krishna already said, that those who are on this path of buddhi yoga, their aim is one. Now, here is the price you have to pay if you want that one-pointed intelligence. If you really want to go back to God, back to Krishna, then you cannot become attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence. Because that is incompatible. Krishna may give sense enjoyment and material opulence, but the devotee is not attached. The best example from the Krishna Leela is the Brahmana Sudama. That he was so poor, but still, his devotion and love for Krishna never wavered, even though he was destitute. And then in the end, when Krishna gave him fabulous material opulence, his devotion for Krishna did not change. Sudama had no desire, but when Krishna gives, he accepts. So if a devotee is hankering for sense enjoyment and material opulence, then he will not have resolute determination. The devotee's attitude is detached. If Krishna gives me a nice situation, good. I'm going to serve Krishna. If Krishna does not give me a nice material situation, still I'm going to serve Krishna. The devotee is not attached. But someone who is not a devotee, they are very much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence. They work hard for it, they hanker for it, and that's what they want. And those people, they'll not have the required determination to go back home, back to Godhead. Text number 45. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. So the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. Every one of us is acting in terms of the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, ignorance, or a combination or permutation of those. The three modes of nature mix 3 × 3 × 9. You get 8,400,000 different kinds of choices, of living conditions, which is a combination, just like you have three colors. And with three basic colors, the artist can paint various hues and tones with three colors. So Krishna is the master artist with three modes. This whole material cosmic manifestation is painted by Krishna. So the Vedas mainly deal with these three modes. Become transcendental to these modes, O Arjuna. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. The self was already discussed by Krishna in verses 11 through 30 in this chapter. The subject matter, the opening subject matter that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita was the self, the soul, distinct from the body and the mind. Here Krishna is telling Arjuna, now you be established in the self and become transcendental to these modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because this material world is a world of duality, good and bad, man and woman, left, right. So many dualities, heat and cold, winter, summer. It's simply a world of duality. Krishna is saying, rise above it. And in this way, don't be concerned about gain or safety. No anxiety. Be established in who you really are. The soul. Text number 46. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So, the purpose of the Vedas, that is explained by Krishna in chapter 15. Vedaischa sarvair, aham eva vedya, Vedantakrid, Vedavid, Eva Chaham. In chapter 15, Krishna will say, the whole purpose of the Vedas is to find Him, to know Him. Lord Chaitanya explains the purpose of the Vedas as being three tracks. Do you know those three tracks? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Have you heard of that? Lord Chaitanya teaches the Vedas are only teaching these three things. The real understanding of the Vedas. Sambandha. What is your eternal relationship with God? That's the first thing. Discover. Link up. Renew your forgotten eternal relationship with Krishna. Number two, once your relationship is reestablished, act in terms of that relationship. That's called bhakti, buddhi, karma yoga. Then, by acting in terms of my eternal relationship with Krishna, there is a fruit, a result, and that fruit is love of God. And love of God is the real purpose of all religion. Regardless of the religion, real religion is to learn how to love God. So that is the purpose of the Vedas, of religion, not something material. It is to discover your eternal relationship with Krishna, act in that way, and then develop love for Him. So once this is understood, once somebody accepts, yes, this is the whole purpose of religion, love of God, then anything you read, anything you come across, you will easily understand because you will know the ultimate conclusion, the ultimate purpose, and everything will either fit or not fit in that understanding. Text number 47. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So prescribed duty, that is not governed by me and you. We do not determine our prescribed duty. Prescribed duties are already there, given by God in the scriptures. By nature, we are either inclined to Brahminical, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra activities or duties by nature. In this Bhagavad Gita, how a Brahmana works is delineated. How a Kshatriya works, how a Vaishya works, how a Shudra works. And it has to go by your natural inclination. And so everyone must act according to their prescribed duty. For instance, let's take for instance the Brahmana. The Brahmana is supposed to be control of the senses, control of the mind. Shamo dham, he is supposed to be austere. Shamo dhamma tapa, he is supposed to be clean, peaceful, forgiving, not duplicious. Shamo dhamma tapa kshocham, shantir, forgiving. Arjivam, straightforward. Gyanam, full of knowledge. Vigyanam, should have practically realized the understanding. And then the most important quality, astikyam, firm faith in God, the spiritual master, and the scriptures. Firm faith. That is the most important quality of a Brahmin. So a Brahmana has to act and work according to those qualities. But you are not entitled to the fruits. Yes. The fruits belong to God. So therefore, a person who follows Bhagavad Gita will act as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or even a Shudra. But the results, the fruits are given to God first, and then the devotee takes prasad, takes the mercy that God gives. But the devotee knows everything belongs to God. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. In other words, a Krishna conscious person does not live for any selfish motive. The Krishna conscious person lives to satisfy Krishna. Just as in a marriage, the husband lives to take care of the wife, and the wife lives to take care of the husband. They don't live selfishly. When they begin to live selfishly, then you have the question of divorce, fight. But if the husband and wife are living for the maintenance and well-being of the other, then that'll be a happy marriage. But soon as there is selfishness, that's when the problems begin. And even human society, wars, disputes, it's all because of selfishness. The Krishna conscious program is not democracy. It is not capitalism. It is spiritual communism. Everything belongs to God. Therefore, let us share equally. That is spiritual communism. Everything belongs to God. Not for me. Belongs to God, and He wants us to share everything equally. So we don't do things for our own selfish aggrandizement. The devotee does things for Krishna. And never be attached to not doing your duty. That is the mode of ignorance. In the previous section, Krishna told Arjuna, you must tolerate the dualities. So because of the dualities of the material world, sometimes there is a tendency to not want to do my prescribed duties. Let's say, for instance, the Brahmana. I mentioned that the Brahmana is supposed to be austere. So the Brahmana may not feel like being austere, but the Brahmana has to tolerate. No, I may not feel like this, but it is my duty. Therefore, I must give class. I must fast on Ekadasi or Janmashtami. The devotee does things because it is one's duty. Text number 48. Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga, equipoised. So you remain equipoised when you're not worried about the result. The result, that's up to Krishna. I will do the best that I can do, just like right now. I am trying to do this class. I'm giving it all my concentration, all my energy. But I can't be attached. This guy likes it. This guy doesn't like it. This guy walked out. No. I can't be concerned. It's up to Krishna whether or not I am a success or failure. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that when he wrote that poem when he landed in Boston Harbor in September of 1965. When he prayed to Krishna, now you can make me a success or failure as you like. That is the devotee's attitude. The devotee puts his heart and soul, all energy into whatever he's doing for Krishna, but the end result, he's not attached. That's up to Krishna. Prabhupada had no way of knowing what was going to happen when he arrived in 1965. In fact, he was worried that as soon as I start to mention the four regulative principles, what will they do? But he simply depended on Krishna and spoke the message of Krishna as it is. And Krishna made him a great success. Otherwise, we would not be here. You have a question, sir? Go ahead. Perform your duty equipoise. Krishna is instructing you should be equipoised. Try. You should be equipoised. How you feel, that's not what we're talking about. Perform your duty equipoised. So you may feel not good about it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to execute this activity equipoised. I may not feel equipoised, but I'm going to act equipoised. You see the difference? Yes, sir. Okay, so sambandha, your relationship with Krishna. Abhideya, activities in terms of that relationship, in other words, bhakti yoga, and then prayojana, love of God. Okay? Can I go on? Everybody's good? All right, we'll ring the bell and continue. Text number 49. O Dhananjay, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness, surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So, this line, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. The best defense is a good offense. So, it is more important that people and yourself are engaged in buddhi yoga, bhakti yoga, karma yoga activities. That's more important than worrying about sinful activities. If you are thoroughly engaged in this devotional activities, you won't have time for sinful activities. There's the common expression, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. But if you're constantly proactive, hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, the 9 different processes, if you're constantly pushing there won't be time for abominable or sinful activities. And then surrender to the Lord. Because if you try to work and think, now I'm going to enjoy, then Krishna says, you're a miser. Again, the devotee does, say for instance, you cook, right? Yes. So you know, first Krishna eats, then you eat prasad, yes? Everybody else, they cook, they eat, But a devotee is cooking for Krishna. And Krishna gives you prasad. Correct? Okay. Text number 50. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. So, this is an important point. Everybody doesn't want bad reactions, but everybody wants good, right? But here Krishna is saying that when you are on this path of Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, you're going to get free from both good and bad reactions. That's necessary in order to achieve liberation. Because if I simply don't want the bad, but I want the good, then I have to come back to this material world and enjoy the good. So a devotee obviously doesn't want the bad, but he also doesn't want the good. Because that means if he wants the good, he's got to come back again. Whereas the devotee wants to go to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. So therefore he wants to finish good and bad. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Yoga, to connect with God. That is yoga. Connecting with God. It's a process. The process by which you connect with God is called yoga. And that is the art of all work. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death, and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. So, devotional service. What are you doing? The more that you do devotional service, you are freeing yourself. Dr. Martin Luther King gave that famous speech, but he was not free. If he wanted to be free, he would have had to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and engage in devotional service. Because just by political manipulation, you don't get free. Here's how you get free. Devotional service. That's how you free yourself from the results of work and free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries. Later on in chapter 8, Krishna will point out, anywhere you go in this material world, misery. Whether it's the topmost planet of Lord Brahma or down to hell, it's all misery. Either it's A-class misery, B-class misery, C, but it's all, according to Krishna, all this material, any situation in this material world is misery. The state beyond all miseries is to be liberated, go back to the kingdom of God. Text 52. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, You shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. In the material world, there's always a new thing, a new gimmick, a new scheme, a new con. And the foolish people in the material world, they hear it and they go for it. And as a result, they lose. When you are, this chapter, this section was talking about your fixed one-pointed attention, you only want to go back to Godhead, then you'll hear so many things in this material world, you'll say, phooey. I'm not interested. I want to know how to go back home, back to Godhead. Just like in the case of Dhruva. 5-year-old boy was in the forest, and he had only one desire, how to achieve a kingdom greater than anyone's. And when Narada Muni went there, Narada told Dhruva, you're a 5-year-old boy. These austerities and penances you want to do, you can do it later when you're older. Now you're young, you can play. And Dhruva said, don't waste my time. Either you tell me how to achieve my goal or go. Dhruva was not interested in anything anyone had to say. All he wanted was this kingdom. So a devotee is like that. When you actually understand what is Krishna consciousness, when you actually understand what is this Bhagavad Gita, then you don't want to hear nothing. I have personal experience of this. In February of 1973, I decided to join this movement. And I was at that time under contract as a musician. I had a manager. So I told my manager, I'm stopping this music. I'm joining the Krishna consciousness movement. And for 2 weeks, he tried every conceivable argument to convince me otherwise. Up until the time I was getting on the bus leaving to come back to New York and join Prabhupada, there he was in my ear trying to convince me that I should not do this. But, as it says here, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. And I'm telling you, as I got on the bus, he was still in my ear, right like this, trying to convince me. But I was determined. And when I got on, when the door closed, I said, Jai, Haribo. Text number 53. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So, Krishna has already said that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. Flowery language of the Vedas means that generally there are material enticements or allurements offered in the Vedas for people who want material things out of their religion. So Krishna is saying here, when you're no longer disturbed by these flowery descriptions, and when you remain fixed in self-realization, in other words, you have this one-pointed attitude, I simply want to understand what is my eternal relationship with Krishna. That is the divine consciousness. That is called surrender. My Lord, I don't want anything else. I simply want to serve you. That is the definition of this Maha Mantra. The definition of this Maha Mantra, O energy of God, Radha, O God, Lord Krishna, for so long I have tried to enjoy separately from you. For so long I tried to be the enjoyer. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, I have tried to imitate you, Lord. Now I have come to my senses, and now I realize I am not the enjoyer. I am your eternal servant. I thought I was the enjoyer, but actually what I realized is I had become the servant of my own senses. I had become the servant of my own lusty desires, which can never be fulfilled. In the next chapter, we will hear about lust. How lust is never satisfied. It burns like fire because it's never satiated. So when we fully accept this Maha Mantra, what are we saying? I am finished with lusty desires. I am finished with trying to satisfy the dictations of these material senses. My Lord, I am coming to you. Please, some nice service. Give me shelter at your lotus feet. And then there is peace. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have any questions? You're satisfied? Are you happy you came? Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You going to lead kirtan? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'd like to read to you a section from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will describe 8 transcendental qualities of Krishna. And by hearing these transcendental qualities, hopefully it's an impetus to want to surrender and serve Krishna. The first of Krishna's 8 transcendental qualities is that he is always untouched by the contamination of material existence. This is also mentioned in the Ishopanishad, Apapa Vidham. Just as the sun is never polluted by any contamination, the Supreme Lord is never polluted by any sinful activities. Although Krishna's actions may sometimes seem impious, he is never polluted by such actions. The second transcendental quality is that Krishna never dies. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, he informs Arjuna, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna tanyahang veda sarvani natvang veta parantapa. Both he and Arjuna had many appearances in this material world, but he alone remembers all such activities, past, present, and future. That means that Krishna never dies. Forgetfulness is due to death. So we'll have to continue this next week. Thank you very much. I do this class every Wednesday. Hope to see you again. Happy Janmashtami. Hare Krishna. Gopalji, you'll need the cord. Maybe.